الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي من على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأولاده وأزواجه وأهل بيته ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. As was mentioned, on the Thursday, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his final khutbah before the Zuhar Salah, after the Zuhar Salah. He performed the Asr of that day and the Maghrib of that day as well. When it was the time of Isha, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was feeling extremely weak and sick. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his household, "Asallan nas? Have the people performed their salah?" So they say, "La hum yantazirunaka ya Rasulullah." No, they are waiting for you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed his household to place water in a tub for him. And when they did so, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made ghusl. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to stand up. However, he fell unconscious. On recovering, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again asked, "Asalla an-nas, have the people performed salah?" The answer was the same, that they are waiting for you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the instruction that water should be placed for him in a tub. He made ghusl. And for the second time, when he tried to stand up, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell unconscious. And thereafter, on recovering, the same thing happened for a third time. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell unconscious for the third time, now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Muru Aba Bakrin fal yusalli bin nas," that instruct Abu Bakr to perform the salah. Tell Abu Bakr to perform the salah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this command, gave this instruction, then Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned that, "O Nabi of Allah, Abu Bakr is a very soft-hearted person. He cannot control his tears. When he is performing salah, he will begin to tear. He will not be able to hold back his tears. So tell Umar radiallahu anhu to perform salah instead." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reason actually for Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha mentioning this, although this was a pretext that she used, that my father is a soft-hearted person, therefore it will be difficult for him to perform the salah, tell someone else to perform the salah. So this was just a pretext. But the real reason was that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha knew that when someone else is going to stand in the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then people would regard that to be a bad omen. That now someone else is in the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she did not want this to be attributed to her father. So that was the real reason why she did not want her father to perform the salah, and she wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to instruct someone else, or to instruct Umar radiallahu anhu to perform the salah. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu should perform the salah. This happened 3 times. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "Inna kunna sawahibu Yusuf," that you are like the woman in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So the similarity was that the woman in the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Zulaykha, who was the wife of the minister in the incident of surah of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, she had invited the other woman that were accusing her, or that was speaking bad about her for making evil advancements towards Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and for trying to seduce Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So those women were speaking ill about her. So what she did was that she invited them for a feast. She invited them for a feast, and this was the pretext. The pretext was a feast. But she wanted them to see the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And she knew that when they see the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, then they will realize why she had fallen for the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So she used something as a pretext, but the reason was actually something else. So in the similar manner, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying to Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, that you are using this as a pretext that my father is soft-hearted, but your reason and your actual purpose is something else. Nevertheless, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam insisted that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu should perform the salah. When this message was delivered to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Umar radiallahu anhu, that, O Umar, you lead the people in salah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu knew that he was soft-hearted. It will be difficult for him to fulfill this role of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he asked Umar radiallahu anhu to perform the salah. Umar radiallahu anhu declined and he said that you are more worthy of leading the salah. Hence Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu led the Isha salah on Thursday. And thereafter, till the Monday that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, every salah was led by Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. There was just that one joint salah that we spoke about, and we will discuss a little later, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out for one salah, and jointly he made imamat with Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Besides that, all the other salah were performed by Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This was a very clear indication from the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would be the rightful khalifa and would be his successor after him. And this is what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum understood as well. Therefore Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam appointed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to lead the salah. In my presence, I was there in Medina Munawwara. I was not gone out. I was healthy and well. I was not sick. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wished to appoint me to perform the salah, as some people would later claim that Ali radiallahu anhu was the rightful khalifa. So he says, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted me to be the khalifa and wanted me to perform the salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have appointed me. However, despite my presence, despite my good health, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam appointed Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then he would say, فَرَضِينَا لِدُنْيَانَا مَنْ رَضِيَهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ لِدِينِنَا. We are happy for that person to lead us in our dunya affairs, in worldly affairs, meaning to be the khalifa, to be the ruler, and to run the administration of the Muslim world. We are happy for that person to run us and to lead us, to run the affairs and to lead us in our dunya, whom Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was pleased with him to lead us in our deen. Deen is more important, salah is more important. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam appointed him to lead us in our deen. So when he was appointed and they were pleased for him to lead us in our deen, we are happy for him to lead us in the dunya. And we find here as well that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not desire for the position. So when the message came to him, he asked Umar radiallahu anhu he requested Umar radiallahu anhu to perform the salah. So on his side, he was not eager for the position. And on the other hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had appointed him. And Sahaba radiallahu anhu understood this to be that this is appointing him as the khalifa and the successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Either on the Saturday or Sunday, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt slight relief. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the masjid for the Zuhar Salah. Taking support on the shoulders of his beloved uncle Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu an and his cousin Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, due to the pain and weakness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was experiencing, he could not lift up both his Mubarak feet. Rather, his feet were dragging and trailing on the ground. By these two Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out for the salah. The Zuhar salah was in progress, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was leading the congregation, he was leading the salah, when from the side of his eyes he noticed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming. He began to move back. That now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is here, he will perform the salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gestured, and he indicated to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that he should remain where he was and he should remain on that position. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them to seat him next to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. After he was seated there, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the salah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the qiraat. He would mention, he would say the takbirs. However, the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was too faint for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to hear his voice. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would call out the takbirs after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would hear the takbir of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and thereafter they would move to the next posture. So this is what we term as a joint imamat. And this was only one salah, one zuhr of either Saturday or Sunday, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed salah. Besides this, all the other salah were led by Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu from the Thursday Isha till Monday Fajr. Here again, a very great lesson that we learn is the importance of salah with jamaat. From the time that the illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commenced, from the witness day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to perform the salah. Although it was difficult for him, although sometimes he needed to be supported, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to come to the masjid and perform the salah. And thereafter, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell unconscious 3 times, only when this happened, that on 3 attempts, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell unconscious, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt that now I am excused and now I don't need to go to the masjid to perform the salah because now I can't manage. And thereafter, during those days also, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt a little relief, such relief that he could go to the masjid being supported by 2 people. This, he couldn't even walk on his own, supported by 2 people. Again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made an attempt to go to the masjid to perform the salah, leaving no excuse for any ummati after him to claim that I can't go to the masjid because of small and trivial reasons, because of some small headache or some other small commitment, I can't go to the masjid to perform my salah. When our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his final illness, during this state, with so much of difficulty, he made a point of going to the masjid to perform the salah, unless it was absolutely unmanageable, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to go to the masjid to perform the salah. This gives us a very great direction and a great guideline for us as the ummah about the importance of salah with jamaat in the masjid. A few incidents that have taken place, random miscellaneous incidents that have taken place during these final days of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha reports, she says that whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would feel unwell, and when he would retire to bed under normal circumstances, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite the 3 quls. Qul huwallahu ahad, qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, and qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. And then he would blow into his mubarak palms, into his mubarak hands, and thereafter he would pass his hands over his blessed body. So this was his habit when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his final illness due to extreme weakness. She says that he could not do this for himself. So I would recite the 3 quls. And then I would take the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I would blow into the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to acquire the barakah of his Mubarak hands. Therefore, I would not blow it my own hands. I would blow into his Mubarak hands, and then I would take his Mubarak hands and pass it over his body. So this explains to us the importance of this practice of reciting the 3 quls. And in another narration it is mentioned that this was actually the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So on one hand, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do it when he could manage, but when he could not manage, then he instructed Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha to do this on his behalf. So the importance of us also reciting the 3 quls in the mornings after the Fajr Salah and in the evenings after the Maghrib Salah, to recite the 3 quls, inshallah this will be a divine protection for us. And then we instill this habit into our children as well. And if they are so small that they cannot recite it, then we do it on their behalf. We recite it for them and we pass our hands over them. So in order for them to also come into this divine protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During these days, on one occasion, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu an entered into the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was experiencing severe pain, severe fever. So, observing this severe pain that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was experiencing, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu an says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ tu'aku wa'kan shadida. O Nabi of Allah, I see that you experience very severe fever pain. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ajal inni u'aku kama yu'aku rajulani minkum. Yes, I experience double the fever that you that others experience. What others experience, the fever pain that others experience, I experience double that pain. So then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu commented and he said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ لَكَ أَجْرَيْن. O Nabi of Allah, that would be perhaps because you will get double the reward as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he replies in the affirmative, yes, I will receive double reward. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the reward of a believer going through any type of difficulty. A very great consolation for us when we go through difficulties. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ma min muslimin yusibuhu adan shawkatun fama fawqaha illa kaffarallahu biha sayyiati kama tahuttu ash-shajaratu waraqaha." That any Muslim who is afflicted by some difficulty, no matter how small the difficulty may be, even if it be the pricking of a thorn or something even more insignificant than that, so any type of difficulty that a believer goes through, then because of this difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expiate and wipe out his sins in exchange of the difficulty, just as a tree sheds off its leaves. So how, especially in the autumn season, how the leaves fall off from the tree, in the same manner, when a believer goes through difficulty, his sins also fall off from his body. So this is a great consolation for us, that if we go through any difficulty, it is a means of expiating our sins. And another lesson that we learn from here, that if a person goes through some difficulty, it is not necessarily a sign of this person, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being displeased with this person. If it was definitely a sign of the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if it was definitely a punishment from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have not gone through difficulty. Here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was experiencing double fever pain, which explains to us that difficulty is not necessarily a sign of the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can be the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if a person is violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time it can be a means of raf'ud darajat, a means of a person's sins being forgiven and a person earning higher ranks in Jannah. Sayyiduna Jabir radiallahu anhu says that I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 3 days prior to his demise. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, la yamutanna ahadukum illa wa huwa yuhsinu dhanna billahi ta'ala. That, wa huwa yuhsinu billahi dhan, that no person should pass away except that he entertains good thoughts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means that a believer should always have good thoughts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how will he have good thoughts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By him constantly being in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will have good thoughts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will favor me, and he will pass his life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, passing his life, having good thoughts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah his mort will come whilst he will be having good thoughts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says that during the final illness, on one occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to me, إِنَّهُ لَيُهَوِّنُ عَلَيَّ أَنِّي رَأَيْتُ بَيَاضَ كَفِّ عَائِشَةَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. She says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that indeed it brings me great comfort and it makes it easy for me that I have seen the fairness of the palms of Aisha radiallahu anha in Jannah. In another narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَيُهَوِّنُ عَلَيَّ الْمَوْتِ أَنِّي رَأَيْتُكِ زَوْجَتِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. That this brings comfort to me, and it easens for me, it makes death easy for me, that I have seen that you will be my wife in Jannah. So one is Jannah and the favors of Jannah. Obviously that is very great, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking forward to the favors of Jannah. But something that added to his happiness and made it more easy for him to leave this world and made him more comfortable was the fact that he was shown that definitely Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha will be his respected wife in Jannah. A very great virtue for Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Na'udhu billah, we find people saying that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha and other sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had changed after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They did not keep up to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some go to this extent, Allah forbid, to say that they even left the fold of Islam. The fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw that Aisha radiallahu anha was his wife in Jannah, it was a guarantee that after his life, she will spend her life in this world in such a manner that will be 100% in total conformity with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Throughout her life, she will continue on that same path. She will pass away in that way, and she will be the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. And it also explains that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha brought so much of comfort and happiness to the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was relieved knowing that she would be his wife in Jannah. Otherwise, if a wife gives her husband a very difficult time and she causes a lot of taklif and hurt to him, then that husband will never desire, and he will not be happy to know that his wife, that she will be my wife in Jannah. He will in fact feel that here in this dunya I have to put up with her, they also in Jannah, also my Jannah will get spoiled with her. But here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that this is making me very, very happy, and it's easing that for me, and it gives me comfort that you will be my wife in Jannah. One last incident. 3 days before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, O Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me out of honor and regard for you, and exclusively for you. I have come down specially for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, whilst he is more aware, Allah is more aware than yourself, but Allah is asking, كَيْفَ تَجِدُكَ, O my Nabi, how are you feeling? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, ajiduni ya Jibreel makruba, O Jibreel, I am concerned. The natural concern that a person has when he goes through such a condition. So, Jibreel, I am concerned. On the second day, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down again, and the same conversation takes place between Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the third day, the same thing happens. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I find myself to be concerned and maghmuman, I find myself to be grieved. On this occasion, Jibreel alayhi salam came down with another angel. And this angel was in charge of 70,000 angels. This was none other than the angel of death. So Jibreel alayhi salam says, O Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the angel of death who is seeking permission to enter. And he has never sought permission from anyone else before you. Every other person, he comes without asking for permission. You are the only person that is asking for permission to enter. Thereafter, permission was granted to Malakul Maut, to the angel of death. Jibreel alayhi salam also mentioned that after you also, he will never ask permission from anyone. So permission was granted to the angel of death. Now the angel of death comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, O Ahmad, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to you, and he has commanded me to obey you in whatever you instruct me. If you instruct me to extract your soul, then I will extract your soul. And if you instruct me to leave, then I will leave. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَدْ اشْتَاقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is desirous of meeting you. Allah wants to meet you now. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears this, he says to Malakul Maut, Ya Malakul Maut, imdi lima umirta bihi. O Malakul Maut, proceed and do what you have been commanded. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam then makes salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says that this is the end of my treading upon the earth. You were the only reason why I came down to the earth. After you are gone, I will not come to this earth. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shortly thereafter, were the final moments of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world. Inshallah, we will continue. Jazallahu anna nabi alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.